We have in our center an oriental hibiscus plant, which I very carefully bring in before frost, before 40 degrees, into the house. And we keep it in the office. And the other morning, it presented us with five beautiful yellow blossoms. And I took that as an omen. I said, this means that the Vedanta Center is blossoming. It's in good shape and it's on the rise. I'd like to call your attention to the fact that one of our elder Swamis, senior Swamis, many years ago, up in Ganges, Michigan, remarked in passing that it takes to build it, to have a Vedanta Center in any city requires at least 200 people and a library. It doesn't. It requires a library and about 50 or 55 people like you. That's all it requires. People like you. It's your enterprise, your generosity, your sincerity, your affection. All of those things are what has made this a success. It doesn't take 200 people. I'd like to go back and tell him. Maybe we will have 200 people, but not yet. What is the total membership now? 86. We have 86 signed up members. We're making it. Plus me. Well, I hope I'm included. Well, that's on the way, isn't it? But we are now at a crossroads, my friends. I have been working here in Atlanta for 15 years, 3 in the 80s and 12 in the 90s, as a worker, a member of the Ramakrishna Order, monastic order. And I have done my best to fulfill the instructions of Swami Bhashyananda, who founded this center. He told me when he sent me here, put your whole heart and soul into it, and one day it will be an independent center, not just a branch of Chicago, but an independent center of the order. And I don't mean independent of the order, I mean independent of his origin. But we have been working without the official recognition of any center in this country and without any official recognition on the part of India. We have had good friends around the country, especially in Hollywood, but we have not had any official recognition. You all have come here wanting to listen to the knowledge of the highest truths we know of, and you have come wanting to practice meditation in our chapel and to celebrate festivals that regularly occur 5 times a year, and you have come to associate with like-minded people who can form a fellowship and a support for your activities. I'm a strong believer in community. I go to another community on Sunday night. I'm a strong believer in being a part of a community. And I have done, I frankly say, I have done all that I know how to do in my limited way as not a very social person to make a community here. And I hope that you feel that this communal meal and meeting in a way celebrates, in a way establishes the community of the Vedanta Center of Atlanta, and that you want to be with each other and a part of a group. It has not mattered much, therefore, in our founding of a community, in our forming of a community, and in our founding of a center, it has not mattered much that we had no official support from outside. We have managed with our expenses on our own. We had to appeal and raise money to have the center, but we haven't had to do anything after that much in the way of external support. And I have had excellent support from you. In some cases, remarkable, which I've already acknowledged in my thank yous. Very unusual gifts and persons of help to me and us. Many of you have read the history booklet, which was put out in 2002 at our 10th anniversary. And you know that big swamis of our order have been here and have blessed this work, have actually performed introductory rituals here. So the president of our order, Swami Ranganath Anandaji, now 96 and not very far away from leaving us, came here, performed a homifier or havan, some kind of a ceremony to do this in Swarna's house. Now the time has come for us to seek affiliation with the order, formal affiliation with the order. Why? Number one, for the sake of continuity, we have had the sad experience of having the continuity of this center broken. It was broken through misunderstandings, through the kind of distance that the Vatican always has from its American bishops. And the continuity must be kept up, because you cannot get to a point like this with I hate to call this an organization, because we're so anti-organization minded, but you can't get to this place with a center and even dream of having it collapse. So for the sake of continuity, primarily, we must become affiliated. Secondly, to dispel any uncertainty about the future. The future is, as we've been hearing, it's been hinted at that we have a plan, we have plans. All of those things are dependent upon the continuity of this center and upon the mission which I am about to undertake to India. So to dispel any uncertainty about our future, who will be leading the Vedanta Center of Atlanta and when, is a very big question as I grow older. And thirdly, it will give us national and international identity. And by having a national and international identity, it'll be easier for us to raise funds, if we need to raise funds. People will help us from other centers, perhaps a little bit. I mean, that's almost negligible, but it will come. Such things will happen. Maybe even internationally. We can't expect anything from impoverished India, but there are places around the world which have our welfare in mind, and they would like to see us identified as a center of the order. And it will give us a platform and a stimulus to grow. As Catherine read out to you last year, I told you, something which doesn't grow, which stagnates, will eventually die. So we do have to have a stimulus to grow, and the stimulus will come from our association and official affiliation. You know, the Ramakrishna Mottan Mission, it started as just a monastic organization. The disciples of Sri Ramakrishna formed together under Swami Vivekananda's leadership, this band of 16, 17 monks who, with their the young men that they attracted, made a big monastery. Small monastery. And got together and started the spiritual work of this order. And very soon it became obvious that there were so many people who were laymen, who wanted to do what we've been hearing about here, wanted to have special things done, do service organization, service projects. And they formed together, and that became the Ramakrishna Mission. And finally the two were united, and it's now called the Ramakrishna Mott, which is monastery, and mission. And the mission consists of some monks, but mostly laymen. And the laymen operate hospitals, schools, libraries, relief works, all over India and outside. We ought to be a part of that. We want to be a part of that. We should. And I would be proud if we can be. So I'm going to India at the end of February to make this plea on my behalf. Of course, I'm going as a pilgrim first. 33 years since I've set foot on Indian soil. So I'm going as a pilgrimage. But secondarily, I'm going to make this pitch for our affiliation. It's going to depend on my diplomacy, my tact, whatever little I have of diplomacy or tact or persuasion powers, charisma. I'm great on that, you know. Great on charisma. to talk these very elderly men, most of them 89 to 96, into thinking in a little bit more modern way. Well, that's as it may be. Big question. Will they posit conditions? Will they put conditions? Will they say, we'll do it under such and such circumstances? Maybe. Possibly so. You have to be prepared for that. I have to be prepared for that. I am preparing myself inwardly for whatever conditions they may impose upon us to affiliate. I'm trying to prepare myself personally for that. You also, amongst yourselves, as a community, you have to prepare yourselves for accepting, if you choose to do this, accepting the conditions that they will impose, because they probably will not change their minds just because you say you don't like it. I remember years ago in the lecture, Swami Ashokananda explained to us the importance of not getting attached to personalities. Even though there may be a good guide, suppose you're going through the forest, and you are following a very good guide, and you have complicit faith in that guide, and you step in his footsteps. He carries you through the dark forest on what he thinks, what he knows is a trail. Suppose he disappears. Which would you rather have? That short, abbreviated, and truncated journey through the forest, left bereft? Or would you like to have a map? And the Swami pointed out that Vedanta is the map. Vedanta philosophy is the map which we use to take our trace through the forest of Maya. We have to know the principles which will take and lead us and guide us to the goal, regardless of the guide. Guide may be with you for a while, he cannot be with you forever. And so you have the map which is built into your own life, your life practice, your life understanding, your intellectual grasp, and your practice of this is the map, internal map, which will take you to that goal, whether there is a guide there or not. I can't emphasize how important that is at this juncture. So, I'm asking you today, some 40 people are here, and I want to thank you for turning out for this in that quantity. I was expecting just about that many, so I was a pretty good guesser. And it's been a great pleasure to meet you all here today and to have your input. So I thank you for that. But I want to ask you now as a group to, I don't know how the mechanism of this should work, but you need to ask your board of directors to frame a resolution that the Vedanta Center of Atlanta, now constituted under such and such a charter and so on and so forth, may be affiliated as an official branch of the Ramakrishna Mothman Mission. This needs to be your expression to the board so that the board can form that kind of a formal resolution, and all the board members will sign it on your behalf. Amen. I can't quite say amen yet. I have to read something to you. And then I have a couple of announcements. On one occasion, this is from a history of the movement. On one occasion, Swami Vivekananda felt that some of these brother disciples of his wanted to create a narrow sect in the name of Ramakrishna and turn the Ramakrishna Mott into a cult of the temple, where the religious activities would center around devotional music, worship, and prayer alone. Swamiji's words burst upon them like a bombshell. He asked them how they knew that his ideas were not in keeping with those of Sri Ramakrishna. "Do you want," he said, "to shut Sri Ramakrishna, the embodiment of infinite ideas, within your own limits? I shall break these limits and scatter his ideas broadcast all over the world." And that's what he did. Little interplay there between Swamiji and his brother disciples, who were brought up in the devotional atmosphere of Calcutta, Bengal. In 1899, Swami Vivekananda established the Belur Mott, the present headquarters of the Ramakrishna Order, and turned it over to a board of trustees drawn from the monastic members of the Ramakrishna order. The main purpose of the mott was to train monks in spiritual practice and to serve humanity in all possible ways. It was, however, restricted in its public activities. Therefore, a separate organization called the Ramakrishna Mission was set up to carry on these public activities, and legal status was given to it in 1909. Its membership is open to monks and laymen. In the world movement, in the Western Vedanta centers, the mott and mission activities are combined in one. That's just to give you a little picture of what I'm talking about and asking for. And I have two final announcements. One is that our friend of many years, several years anyway, Dr. Avataramani, the one who teaches in silence, is going to give two public lectures next week. The first one on Thursday, December 16th, is at our Vedanta Center in place of the class. Next Thursday, we shall have Dr. Avataramani. And the second one will be on Friday, December 17th, at the house of Bruce Miller on Sycamore Drive in Decatur. Anyone who is interested may attend. So I hope you'll give Dr. Avataramani a good reception. And finally, I want to put this sheet on one of the tables out there. It says, expecting to attend Christmas Eve service. I would like to know who is expecting to attend the service so that I can plan the program and get an idea of how many can be here on Christmas Eve. You do that as you go out. And my salutations and appreciations and profound thanks for your attendance and all that has been provided for us in this year. Our thanks are to the leaders and founders of our order and movement, and you know that they are the ones that are doing it all. I hope you know that.